Hello, everybody. Come on in. Welcome, welcome. Reminds me of I'm in a Toastmasters group, and there's a guy in our Toastmasters group that says, "Welcome, welcome, welcome," at every meeting. Hello, Miss Audrey. How are you? Let's see. I'm going to rename myself. I'm Coach Betsy. Do we have anybody today who this is their first call, period, their first bench coaching call? I'd love to hear. Maybe this is the first time you've been able to listen live. I always love to hear about that. And then, of course, we have our regulars. Ooh. Anne is in Spain. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law just got back from Barcelona. Y'all, it's kind of hard to see. And I don't want to have to put my glasses on, but I think it's Moni, M-O-N-I. Gosh, it's hard to see. It's a black background and then it's blue writing. And that's just not the easiest thing to read. Hello, sweet Cindy. I see you. I see you there. Miss you. All right, y'all. Well, let's just get started. And this is how this call is going to work. This is an open coaching call. So, anyone who wants to get coached, please raise your hand. I would love to coach at least a couple of you all, if not more. I will coach as many as I have time for in the next hour or so. And, but we do definitely really do focus on binge eating, overeating on this call, and mainly binge eating. So, if you've got any questions, any coaching you want, please raise your hand or put your question in the Q&A. Where is the Q&A? Like, I don't see the Q&A box down here. Maybe it's now I've really got to get now I got to get my glasses out, y'all. They move things around in Zoom. There's that Q&A box. Why did they move that? Okay, there. Now it popped up down there at the bottom. I tell you what, thank you. Thank you, Jean. I know it's actually not next to the chat. It's over here. I had to click on more and then it popped up right next to more. So Zoom keeps us on our toes. They're always changing things up. So anyway, please put a question in the Q&A and you can keep it anonymous if that's if you're more comfortable doing that. Y'all, I am so big on especially with binge eating where there just can be a lot of shame. It's okay for you to just sit and listen tonight. Y'all, anything is okay. There are no shoulds in, you know, on my binge eating call. Okay. This reminds me of my yoga class that I went to this morning. I love my yoga teacher so much. Her name's Birdie. And almost every week she tells us, y'all, there is nothing you have to do in this class. You can take a nap for an hour. And I just love that she says that because I just always think, oh my gosh. You know, a lot of times we go to these classes and then we've been to these exercise classes where we felt just like we had to do absolutely everything and we killed ourselves. And she said, y'all, every single thing is a maybe. Every single thing is an option. Do not do something that hurts or, you know, where your feet fall asleep and all this kind of stuff. Well, I feel the same way about these calls. Don't do anything that feels scary or, you know, wrong to you. Okay. There's no rules on this call. You can sit and listen. You can raise your hand and get coached and everything in between. And so you can put a question in the Q&A. You can make it anonymous if you want to. You can just chat in the chat and I might see something that I might want to bring up. But especially with something like binge eating, y'all, we've just got to be soft with ourselves. We've got to be easy with ourselves. We've just got to be a little bit more. Just a little bit more compassionate with ourselves. Okay. So there's a time for being a little tough. There's a time for, you know, parenting ourselves and being a little firm. But sometimes that's just too much for us. Okay. I know I've experienced that. So Is there an opportunity to be a little softer with yourself? Maybe that's the question you take away tonight. Is there some opportunity to soften something up a little bit? Okay. We already have a couple of questions in the Q&A, so I'm going to jump on those in a second. And then, but like I said, if anybody wants to raise their hand, please do. All right. So let's just jump through the questions. And then I've also got a couple other things too. We'll just kind of see where the call takes us. But anytime I see questions popping up or coaching or whatever, I want to go ahead and jump on that. Anonymous says, I don't know why when I'm not hungry, I still keep grabbing something to eat, even to the point of getting sick. Okay. So here's the thing, Anonymous, right? A lot of our eating that we have done for years and years and years, sometimes, even since we were kids, right, had nothing to do with being hungry. Okay. So it's kind of funny, right? How sometimes we get into no BS and this like, eat when you're hungry, stop when you've had enough. It all just, it makes sense, right? It's so simple. Oh, I'll just eat when I'm hungry and stop when I've had enough. Well, if we have had a very different relationship with food for a long time, it's not just a matter of, oh, okay, I'll just not eat if I'm not hungry. Like, I have worked with people so long, y'all. I've been here almost 8 years. And here's what happens when just eating only when you're hungry, when it just doesn't feel as easy as we think it's supposed to feel. What happens? We start to feel like we're broken. We start to feel like something's messed up with us. We start to feel like we're the one that just can't figure this out. But like I said a second ago, if we have had a relationship with food that has had nothing to do with hunger or stopping it enough for decades, and y'all, most of us who are here to lose weight have had that kind of relationship, it is going to take time. It's not just going to be like flipping on a switch. Oh, I just need to not eat when I'm not hungry. No, it's going to take some time. Okay. It's going to take some time. And here's the other thing. It is something different. And your brain, your habit brain, it doesn't like different. It wants to just keep doing what it's always done. So Anonymous, that's what's happening. And actually, when we start practicing doing something different, it can even get even more. We can overeat even more at first because there's so much resistance to doing something new at first. Okay. So basically, what I'm telling you is what you are experiencing is the absolute normal thing that should be experience you should be experiencing. You know how we say, like, eating when you're hungry and stopping enough, it's simple, but it's not always easy. It's a simple concept, but it's not always easy because it is something different. It is different from a habit we've been practicing for years and years. And we have used food for way more, most of us, right, have used food for way more than hunger and eating to enough. Okay. So my advice to you, my suggestion to you is to keep going. Keep practicing, right? The more you keep going, the less resistance there will be. Okay? But it's very normal for that to keep happening sometimes. Okay? So I just want you to know that first. All right, Katie says, my binges are so random. I don't struggle with them all the time. Then I get a flare up and have them for a while, then they go away. I'm pretty binge free right now, but they come back and I don't know why. Well, number one, what immediately came to mind, Katie, is like, do we have to know why? Here's the thing. Here's the thing. And actually, I have experienced this literally like yesterday and today. Yesterday, everything felt hard in life. I was really beating myself up a lot. I was really having a lot of self-doubt. I overate some yesterday. Like yesterday, just everything felt kind of heavy and dark and hard. And I woke up this morning and I went to my yoga class, and then I was like, okay, I think we're like, this is going to be a good day, and you know, all this kind of stuff, right? And today has felt so much lighter. And I say all of that to kind of answer your question in that, you know, it may not be a day-to-day thing. It may be kind of a seasons of life thing, or it may just be like a couple of weeks at a time where we binge more than other times, just because maybe we have less things going on, you know, less actual like circumstances happening that are hard for us. I swear, y'all, we cannot underestimate the power of the weather. Because I feel like I'm kind of coming out of a kind of on a bigger scale. I feel like I'm just kind of coming out when, you know, spring is coming and the sun is out more. And I feel like I'm coming out of a heaviness and a darkness, just like kind of in the seasons right now. And so that's number one, is just like, okay, we may not really figure out exactly why, but could it just be normal, and we'll never know why, that we just binge more often in some seasons or on some days or in some weeks at a time than we do at other times? Okay. And so that's number one. And then the other thing is really getting curious about, you know, okay, like this is kind of what my pattern is. And now, why do binges kind of stay around? This is something that I've really thought about with me and a lot of my private clients, is, you know, how do binges kind of stay around, right? A lot of times, I know what I've experienced in the past is that I would binge once, and then I'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that again. I really thought I was, you know, done with this, or I thought I'd, you know, kind of figured this out. And I would beat myself up so that the binges would kind of keep happening for days or weeks, when really there was an opportunity after that first binge to talk differently and to kind of let it be just a shorter amount of time of a binge. So that's something else you could kind of explore, of like, okay, what keeps this period of time going longer than maybe I, maybe it would have to, you know, it could be a shorter amount of time. So, but here's the thing. It's just like, I think our pursuit of why sometimes keeps us, you know, as our pursuit of like a clear why that just feels like the exact right answer, it keeps us stuck. Because here's the thing with binging, or you know, anything else, right? It's probably a combination of things. It's not this like perfect kind of clear answer a lot of times. But it's like, if we don't get that, sometimes we think we're broken and we stay stuck. But here's the thing, here's my experience, Katie, is that I just have, I right now, I say I may always binge every once in a while. And sometimes I can explain why, and sometimes I can't. But I just kind of take it as it comes and I deal with it. Okay. So I hope that's, oh, thank you, Audrey, for quoting me. I feel so important. But I do that. I do think that's important for us to remind ourselves of. Like, are we looking for some kind of perfect why that we really just, that's not out there, right? It's basically what we decide it is. And that comes back to us trusting ourselves. When we're looking for something perfect kind of outside of ourselves, that means that, you know, we don't think we can trust ourselves to kind of give ourselves the good enough answer. Okay. All right. Cheryl, I don't know if I should keep ice cream out of the house or practice eating it too enough. Actually, I was talking to somebody in Facebook today about ice cream, and I was like, maybe I'll share my ice cream experience, because I just like to share kind of what I'm experiencing, and I hope this will help you too, Cheryl. So here's the answer. The short answer is either one is okay. Because here's the thing about keeping certain foods in the house, y'all. Or not having foods in the house. There is a time for both of those, right? There's a time to make the choice to keep things in the house, and there's a time to make the choice to not keep things in the house. But this is my experience with ice cream, because ice cream is really like, it's basically probably my favorite kind of sweet treat. And I have just done a lot of work. And actually, right now, I usually do a pint, and I like certain Ben and Jerry's flavors. I love a lot of chunks of stuff in my ice cream. And what I usually do is a pint, and I will eat that pint usually within the next week or so, if not the next few days, and then it's done. And I really don't go and get more for another, few weeks or something like that. So I don't have a lot of ice cream that's just hanging out in my house usually. But this time, the last time I was at the store, I got a different kind of ice cream, and it's like a gallon. I guess it's a gallon. Maybe it's a half gallon. I don't know. It's just a, it's a bigger container, right, of ice cream than a pint, like you get with Ben and Jerry's. And that has been an interesting experience because I've overeaten it some. I actually overate some of it yesterday. I like just, kind of ate some out of the container after lunch a little bit. And then after dinner, I had some more. And I have just decided, nope, anything bigger than a pint is not something I really want to spend my mental energy on. And that's what I'm talking about, y'all. So this is really when you make the decision whether to keep foods in the house or not. Is this kind of like where your work is right now? Is to develop, this relationship you want with ice cream or something else that you know is going to take mental energy. And that's kind of really what we're talking about, what we've been talking about all month, this eating foods you love without losing control. Like all of the worksheets and the companion guide and stuff are about like choose one food and you're going to focus in on your relationship with that food. Okay, so Cheryl, if for you it's ice cream and you want to practice having it in the house more and kind of figure out what relationship you want with it, do that. But just know that, yeah, you're going to be thinking about it a lot. And that's really kind of the relationship I have with ice cream now is if it's in the house every single day, I'm like, oh, are we having ice cream tonight? Are we going to get some ice cream? Oh, we got that ice cream in the freezer. It's very chatty. My brain is very chatty about ice cream. So that's why most of the time I just don't keep it in the house at all times, but I absolutely do get it on a regular basis because I don't want to go into that physical restriction, right, of restricting ice cream. No. And sometimes, so I'll either go get a pint of Ben and Jerry's and, I enjoy it the next few days after I have it, or maybe I go to Baskin Robbins down the street, or I go to some other ice cream. So I'm absolutely letting myself have ice cream, but most of the time it's not just hanging out in my house because I know I'm going to have a lot of chatter about it. And that's not a big problem, but I just assume not have that chatter. So you've got to decide, Cheryl, what you want to do. Do you want to have the ice cream in the house, have the chatter, figure out what you want to do with it, or keep it out of the house? But then just be sure you're giving yourself permission to have it on a regular basis. So Cheryl, let me know what either in the Q&A or in the chat if that helps, or if you have any other questions about it, if you want to raise your hand and get coached. I'd like to coach at least one person on the call today. So, but there, oh my gosh, there's a lot of questions. Okay. Well, I'll keep doing questions until people raise their hand. Okay. Alicia, I've been feeling absolutely exhausted with always thinking about weight loss and then not losing weight at all. The feelings of failure lead me to secret eat and binging. I hate always thinking that I'm proving all of my doubters of being able to lose weight. I have a lot of shame and it's a vicious circle. How can I switch the shame thoughts to more positive ones when none of them feel true? Okay. So here's the thing, Alicia, is what you're doing hadn't been working for you, right? Where it's like, okay, right now you've got the thoughts you have are the thoughts you have. This is always the first step, y'all. We've got to kind of make peace with the thoughts we have. That's why changing thoughts doesn't work a lot of times. Because we're like, I hate the thoughts I have. Let me just think new thoughts, right? And you said, none of them feel true. What we need to do is in between, we need to say, okay, how does it make sense that I constantly think about weight loss? How can this be okay? I was talking at the very beginning of the call about softening. This is how we soften. This is one opportunity to soften things. Why? Because we're exhausted because we're resisting these thoughts. Alicia, you're not exhausted from the thoughts. You're exhausted from hating the thoughts. You're exhausted from resisting the thoughts. I want you to meet those thoughts with some softness, with some understanding, and say, or just some curiosity, and say, okay, why am I always thinking about weight loss? How could that make sense? Those thoughts are trying to help you, but you're just fighting them tooth and nail. Okay. And so that's number one, is like, okay, why am I always thinking about this? And kind of let me, like, why is the, does this cycle keep happening? This vicious circle keep happening, right? Where can I kind of like soften some things up in this vicious circle? But I think for you, number one, it is okay, here I am thinking about weight loss again. How is this okay? How is this normal? How does this make sense? Okay. And then I think probably some of that circle or that cycle probably won't even continue because you're meeting yourself with more compassion and grace and understanding instead of shame and judgment. Y'all, this is how this works. If we bring in some of that, it's like, well, then you're probably going to feel less of a failure. You're probably going to binge less in response because you aren't feeling as much of a failure. I hate always thinking that I'm proving all my doubters of being able to lose weight. How does that make sense? How am I always kind of thinking about people who might be doubting me? How is that okay? Or just how does that make sense? You probably have these people who love you, who doubt you, or maybe you're a people pleaser, right? And you want to prove them wrong. But again, this is meeting those thoughts with something very different than, I hate that I always think this. Why do I always think this? That's what I want you to switch it over to. And again, all this shame is, you're not going to get in as much into that circle of shame if you're meeting yourself with something different, with some compassion and some grace. Okay. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to kind of go back and listen to what I just said. And I want you to do some writing, right? And I want you to say, okay, if you can, I want you to like cut and paste this question or just kind of write down these thoughts. And then that question of, how does it make sense that I keep thinking this way? How can I understand more about why I keep thinking this all the time? Right? You are meeting those thoughts with something very different and do some writing on that and then bring it to Ask Coaches. Whitney says, I worry that sometimes I'm just too easy on myself. I'm curious if there's a guide to know when to push and when to lay off. I don't really talk down to myself, but I do find myself excusing my binges sometimes, like I can do better tomorrow, or I will just finish this now and then I will do what I really need. So, first of all, you have some great awareness, right? Where you are like kind of what you've been saying, right, really kind of hasn't been working for you, where it's like, okay, I am kind of excusing this. What could I, like, what is just like a little bit kind of level up thought that I could think? And this is where we get into what I call parenting ourselves. And it's also called yin. There's different types of compassion, yin and yang compassion. That's actually something I'm going to be talking about that I explain in the binge course that's going to be coming out at some point this year. And so, but let's just kind of talk about it as parenting ourselves. Think about it, Whitney. I always use the example of a kid who doesn't want to do his homework. You love that kid, and most parents aren't going to be screaming at their kids to do homework. Now, I know there's a time for that every once in a while. But I want you to think about what you would tell your kid or a kid if they didn't want to do their homework, but they were doing their homework, right? This is where we learn to parent ourselves, not by, not by kind of excusing it, but also not by beating ourselves down. There is lots of room in between, y'all. And so for you, it could be something like, okay, this is a little opportunity to, we could call it pushing a little bit, but it's not pushing so much that we're beat down. It's like, I hear you saying you want to do better tomorrow, but how could we do something a little bit better today? Or I will just finish this now. Is there any way that we could leave a little bit of food behind? Right? It's something where it's just like, no, we're gonna do something different today. We're gonna do something different. And again, this is kind of the same tone as like, no, you're doing your homework. But here's the difference, y'all. Always, again, always think about homework because it's like, okay, I'll help you with some of this homework. I'll support you as you do your homework. But you're doing your homework. Okay? So it's that firm but loving voice that y'all, most of us have not practiced talking to ourselves in that way. It's either a full-on beat down or it's, I'll do better tomorrow. But like I said, there's all this room in between of, well, how can we do a little bit better today or a little bit different today? I don't even like to use better because that implies good and bad and all that kind of stuff. It's like, no, I want to support you with this and let's do something a little bit different right now. What feels really doable right now? You work with yourself just like you would work with yourself, just like you would work with a child who didn't want to do their homework, right? You would figure out a way to make it a little bit more doable. So that's what I invite you to do and I invite you to think about. It's like if I was parenting myself in this right, like if I'm not going to let myself kind of off the hook and not do my homework, but I'm also not going to scream in my own face either, what would I tell myself? And that's where these little small level ups can come in. Okay, so that's what I got for you there. SL says, finished Whole30 elimination diet. 2 days later, I was an urge overdrive with no control. I did the pause to ask what do I really need? Nothing worked. I threw away the trigger food, finally seemed to settle. I think this was restriction rebellion. Absolutely. Absolutely. These Whole30 diets, Hard 75, whatever we want to call them, right? A lot of times they are too restrictive for us. And there is a thing called the binge restrict cycle, where when we restrict, and we don't give ourselves, permission to have foods that we really want to eat, then a binge is coming, or very strong urges to binge are coming. And a lot of times we give in to those very strong urges. So that's why, again, restriction, and this is, we're talking right now, we're talking about physical restriction, right? Cutting out whole food groups, cutting out certain foods. And so SL, what you threw away the food, but that didn't really solve the problem. Because it sounds like that food is something that you do want to eat sometimes, or you wouldn't be having an urge for it, probably. I'm not sure, but Can that food be a part of your life in some kind of way? Because these kinds of diets that cut out whole food groups, if we don't have an amazing reason that we're doing this, and a lot of people do, but if we don't have an amazing reason, then urges are coming for foods that we actually do want to eat. So that's what I love about No BS is that, you don't have to cut out whole food groups, right? You don't have to restrict. You're just listening to your body and practicing that and still giving yourself permission to have these foods. So I think you're right. You're on to yourself. You know what was going on. And again, those diets just are not realistic for most people long term because they're just not realistic in the world that we live in and the kind of food that we want to be eating, sometimes. So that's, yeah, I think you're onto it. And so now I want you to think about, okay, where do I want to go from here? Right? And my suggestion is that you practice permission with all foods and eating them. Practice eating them when you're hungry and stopping eating them. Okay. All right. I know there's a lot of stuff in the chat too. I want to see. Does anybody want to get coached? Raise your hand. I'm just going to keep answering questions. My 17-year-old daughter told her doc that she struggles with some binge eating, and the doc went directly to talking about putting her on a medication to dull impulses. This worries me and makes me a little mad. She also started talking to her about her eating disorder, and now my kiddo is wearing that label. Have others had this experience with straight to medication from doctors? I'm trying to find a counselor for her and sharing No BS teaching, but it's hard. I'm trying to figure it out myself. So I am sure that, and y'all can let me know in the chat that others have had that experience with doctors, right? And this is where we just, want to have some. I've had kind of some experiences with some doctors lately, and I'm just like, and I've also kind of heard some experiences with my clients. And this is where it kind of goes back to what I was saying, like, how could this make sense, right? Some of these doctors, they've just been trained a certain way. We always hear about, they have like, 8 minutes with the patient before they got to go to the next one. And they just, what our brain does is it kind of develops systems, right? And so when we hear kind of a certain, or a patient, or when a doctor hears a patient talk about something, it's like, oh, well, let me recommend this, right? I mean, our brain wants to systematize everything. And so, but what I hear from you, Anonymous, is that, the doctor has made a suggestion, but you know what's best for your daughter. Okay. So this is where I always offer this up when we're talking about something like this is y'all, doctors are humans too. They make suggestions, often very good suggestions to us. But they are still not in charge of us. We are the experts on ourselves, and you are the expert on your child. Okay? So that's kind of where I go with that is doctors are always making suggestions because I coach a lot of people on, well, my doctor told me not to eat this or told me to eat in this certain way or told me to lose weight in this certain way. And I was like, well, yeah, they made a suggestion. Now, what do you want to do? Because you're in charge, right? I mean, and we know this even, we could think of a more extreme example, like someone who has cancer and a doctor is going to recommend a treatment like chemotherapy or radiation or something like that. But they can't make the patient take that treatment, right? The patient is ultimately in charge. And this is no different. This is no different. So this is where, you have that suggestion from your doctor. You may want to consider changing doctors. You may want to consider, thinking about other ways to help your daughter. And this just may have been a time where, okay, the suggestion was not the one that you took because you know what's best, or, maybe you try something else first and then the medication is an option for the future, maybe. But you know what's best. You know what's best. But yes, I know you are not alone in this experience. So I just like to thank y'all, doctors and everybody else. Everybody's doing the best they can. Everybody's doing the best they can. But then we have to take responsibility for our lives, for our children's lives. Okay. All right. And Katie, I know you came in and talking about living in the gray. I'm real big on living in the gray, y'all. Between black and white, right? Between these extremes of, being perfect and saying fuck it, not, and quitting. This is where weight loss happens. This is where any goal is achieved in this gray, y'all. Perfection is just not a thing, and quitting's not going to get us anywhere. So, where do you want to end? But there's so much room here in the gray to move around in. So, take that for what you will. Jackie, ask our most common question I get on every single one of these calls. What would you consider to be binge eating? And I'm not sure if I'm binging or just plain overeating. And so I will answer your question, Jackie, because it's a good one and it's a good reminder to everybody else that, and I always say, number one, don't overthink this, okay? Overeating and binging definitely can blur, right? The lines can blur. But what really often sets binging apart from overeating is often a intense feeling of shame, and that's often what can lead to additional eating. It is often a larger amount of food than just an overeat. Maybe an overeat is just eating a few bites past enough, or maybe it's just eating a snack when you aren't hungry or something like that. Or it could be, a larger amount of food, but a binge is often an even larger amount of food. Not always, but sometimes. A lot of binging is done in secret, whereas overeating is often done out in the open. Again, not always. None of this is absolute. There's my husband walking the dog down past my window. So those are kind of the big ones. But I've mentioned restriction a lot on this call, and a lot of times binging is in response to some kind of restriction. Okay. It is, I've talked a lot about what we call physical restriction, and y'all, this is talked about in this month's course. Eating food you love without losing control. The three types of restriction are introduced in one of the first lessons. Let me see, is it lesson? I think it's like the third lesson. Physical, mental, and emotional restriction are talked about. But physical restriction is when, when we are either cutting out food groups and not letting ourselves have all the foods, the different foods that we want. Or we are actually under eating, right, chronically, and just, not listening to our hunger signals, or we are, hungry a lot of the time. That is also physical restriction. So, where was I going with that? So binge eating can be response to one of those types of restriction. Okay. But again, y'all, this is a lot of this is semantics. Don't overthink it. You can benefit from these calls even if you don't binge on a regular basis, because a lot of it comes back to how we talk to ourselves, how we treat ourselves. Perfectionist thinking is very common with binge eating, but also with overeating. Okay. We were talking earlier about, I mean, there is a medical diagnosis of binge eating disorder. I'm not a doctor. I don't get into that. I do say that there is a medical diagnosis, but if a doctor diagnoses you, then that's that. But I just call myself kind of a person who binges every once in a while. And but y'all, I think really the key is this sense of shame, because when we have so much shame and we're being so hard on ourselves and really beating ourselves down, that is when sometimes an overeat can turn into a binge. Sometimes we binge and we've just, decided we're going to binge, and we from the start we binge. But a lot of times We can prevent binging if we actually are kinder and nicer and more compassionate with ourselves when we just overeat. That was a lot of my binging. That was a common pattern for me where I would eat like a few bites past enough at lunch, or I would maybe have like an unplanned piece of chocolate or something after lunch. And then I would be like, oh my gosh, well, I messed the whole day up. Might as well just keep eating. You know, here's my open door to eat some more because I didn't do it perfectly. And that was part of that perfectionist thinking. So, Jackie, I hope that helps you. And just let me know if you have any other questions about that. Okay, I'm so frustrated. I've been working on reducing my binging for the last 5 years. I go through periods where I'm feeling great and have it figured out. But lately, by the end of the work week, I start fantasizing about overeating because I'm tired of being on. And I lately have felt very competitive with a new younger colleague who I've been told will receive the same amount of clients regardless of experience. It feels so ridiculous, but feeling like my self-worth is suffering. I think I eat to help me calm down. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm so glad that you wrote in and you kind of worded it the way it was, because this is the message that I always want to send on these calls, along with kind of what I've already always talked, what I've already talked about, is that we use food, right? We use binging as a way to take care of ourselves. Okay. I don't believe we're at war with ourselves. I don't believe that we're punishing ourselves. I think we are desperately trying to care for ourselves when we binge. And I actually see that as good news. That means that all of this is with the intention of caring and loving myself. It's not because I'm broken. It's not because I hate myself. It's not because I'm punishing or at war with myself. It's because I desperately am trying to feel better. And like you said, I think I eat to help me calm down. I think you do. And it works. It probably works for a period of time, probably until you start beating yourself up for doing it. Yeah. So it's, you know, it does work. And it's got a consequence that we don't, most of us don't want, right? We don't feel very good physically. If we're trying to lose weight, it doesn't help us lose weight. But it is us caring for ourselves and giving ourselves some relief, giving yourself an opportunity to calm down a little bit. So then what we need to do is, okay, I want to care for myself, but I've just got to figure out how to do it in a different way. But I think for you, Anonymous, there's a couple of things in here. First off, 5 years. Working on reducing your binges is not a very long time. And then we also want to think about, you know, what is our goal? Because a lot of us can ultimately never binge again. But I will tell you, I always want to share my experience is that I'm just not there. I think that there just maybe times in my life where I don't think that there's any other way to care for myself. I just don't have access to anything else to care for me. And I may just use food to care for myself. And I'm okay with that. So I'm not looking for a absolute like end to my binge eating ever. Now that may change at some point in the future, but that doesn't feel right to me. That feels perfectionist to me to like, no, I should get to a point where I never binge again. But that is me. And you've got to kind of figure that out. So it's like, I just believe that this is a lifelong journey. And I don't even count the years anymore because that just feels like shit. You know, that kind of goes back to, oh, well, I should be farther along and all that kind of stuff. It's like, no, I'm just on this journey. I'm on this journey. And I mean, and you do go through periods where you're feeling great and you haven't figured out. Are you seeing those as wins? Anonymous, are you seeing those as times to feel proud of? Okay. But this thing about work, I think for you, there is an opportunity for some journaling here. You are really, really worked up about something that you do not have control over. Okay, it sounds like you do not have control over the amount of clients that somebody gets. So why is it bugging you so much? I really encourage you to do some journaling on that and bring it on over to Ask Coaches. Okay, because and why are we so competitive? Right? Why do we compare? I've been doing some comparing lately, and it's because I'm feeling inadequate. I'm feeling a lot of doubt. So then my brain goes to, oh, well, where's evidence that we're not good enough? Oh, well, let's compare ourselves to Kathy. Let's compare ourselves to Lisa. Let's compare ourselves to MJ. Let's compare ourselves to Corinne, with my work. So why is this bugging me so much when what we're talking about is a number of clients somebody gets, right? It's usually tapping on some sort of doubt, some sort of insecurity that we have. And I encourage you to explore that. Okay. All right. Audrey, you keep your hand up because this is the last question, and then I'm going to come to you. How is secret eating related to binge eating on a psychological level? I secret eat, but it is usually on the level of 3 or 4 cookies I've hidden from my family. So, psychological level sounds a little complicated. I am a psychology major or undergrad, Lee, but it just comes back to the shame again. Because here, I want you to flip it around. What would you have to experience or feel if you came out into the open and you ate those 3 or 4 cookies? There's a reason you're not doing it in front of other people, and usually has something to do with shame or judgment. So that's what we want to do, right? We want to kind of flip it around and say, well, let's just, okay, I just won't secret eat. Then why, and then you really figure out real quick why you do. Because a lot of times you're thinking you shouldn't be doing this. And when we do it out in the open, right, then we kind of think about what other people are thinking about us. And then that kind of translates into judgment for ourselves. So we secret eat to protect ourselves from the story we tell ourselves about whether we should do something or not. That's usually what it is. It comes back to shame and judgment again. And with bingers, a lot of times that is amplified. That is, sometimes you say 10x, right? It's so much more than someone who just has an overeat. We make it such a big deal in our mind when we have 3 or 4 cookies, or when we ha eat a little bit past enough. We're just really, really hard on ourselves. I know I am. And that is definitely a very, very common thing with bingers. And then we binge because we are just looking for relief from that very intense shame and judgment that we feel. So, and then a lot of times we keep eating because we know when we stop, here comes that shame and judgment again. So that's been my experience. Okay. All right, Miss Audrey. Let's see what you got. I feel like I've been talking. I have been talking for about 45 minutes. All right, get a good little drink of water. There you are.
If
Hello.
somebody else has their hand raised, this can.
You're it.
Okay.
You're it.
I
And
just.
I hadn't talked to you in a while. I was hoping
Yeah, I
I might
was
talk to
just
you today.
like, nobody's raising their hand. I'll go ahead and ask my question.
Go for it.
I put it in the Facebook the day it happened, I think
Yes.
Friday or Saturday. So I left and came in here to my discovery worksheet. But basically, I had family birthday. And it ended up being because my daughter is sick, didn't want to bring the kids over here and possibly get grandparents COVID. So it just ended up being my parents and us. And that made me very nervous and awkward just because I have mom issues. And
Okay.
so I did really well. Like, I didn't even use real plates. I didn't even have matchy matchy. We went simple. And that was hard, but we did that. So made it through. It was good. It was a good visit. And because there weren't any little kids, just the birthday girl and I, the four of us, it was a pretty good visit, adult conversation visit. And but there was just something, and I guess maybe that the deal here is, I don't have to know why I did this. I just did. I ate two brownies. They weren't even good brownies. They were like from a pizza order earlier in the week, and we had put them in Ziploc bags. And I was like, these aren't even good. I'll just put them in the pantry. Somebody will eat them. But yeah, I'll eat them. So I went in after all that went down. My husband actually had to go back to work. My daughter went out, and it was just me. And I had done all that food, and survived. The plans changed, and I came in here, and I was a little hungry. But I came in here, and I thought, oh, okay, I'll get a brownie. Oh, there's only two left. I'll just get both. And I stood there and out loud said, I don't care. I'm eating both of them. It could hear myself ping ponging. But I was like, I don't care. I'm going to eat both of them. Well, then I went to bed with a stomach ache. And so I
So
think.
after saying all that, kind of hearing yourself kind of go through them, are there, do you have any guesses about how it could make sense that you had that moment with the brownies, the I don't care moment with the brownies?
Yes. Well,
What are your
and
guesses?
well, the first of all, the win was that I noticed it during instead of after. So I took that as my win.
Well, that's one win for sure.
On my discovery worksheet, I said that it makes sense that, I was tired, I'd had company, the plans changed, the babies, which were going to be the cushion to deal with mama drama, oh, look, the great great grandbabies are here. And I had to face mom head on and all that. I think it makes sense, especially in the past when that's how I've dealt with it.
I think you're right. I mean, I think that is a very good guess, right? I mean, anytime plans change and something unexpected happens, yes, that is always a good guess at it is so uncomfortable for our brain, right? When we think things are going to go a certain way, and then I mean, you bring in babies, right? And like, you're probably really looking forward to seeing these, I mean, they seeing these babies and all this kind of, and so it's like, it could even be like, you just, I'm thinking like, you usually go home a certain way and there's construction and you got to go a different way, right? It's not even something that's super like emotional, but even something like that, right? It's like, ooh, I expected to go a certain way and I didn't. And that feels very uncomfortable. But then, if it was something you were really looking forward to and kind of thinking things were going to go a certain way, that's all you need. That's all that can be the only
But it
reason.
didn't go bad. I mean,
Well, but that this is not the only thing. I mean, I made a note of four or five things here
oh,
around
okay. I'm here. I'll
that.
listen.
I'm just guesses. And I feel like I've, over the years, I've gotten pretty good at guessing, right? Where so unexpected thing happening, but also just, I mean, you mentioned, kind of the mama drama and kind of, just having that. I mean, and think about like all day, right? Even just being on, right? With having a party at your house, you mentioned kind of maybe using more like, simple stuff, and maybe you may have been judging yourself a little bit, but you said something about that being hard where,
Well, I know that that's not okay with my mom.
okay, so you were
But I
nervous about
did
judgment.
paper plates anyway.
Okay.
And instead of like making tea or buying a jug of tea, I bought individual bottles of sweet and unsweet, put them in the bin with ice. I mean, I spent a little bit more money, but I wanted simple and no stress. And she made the comment of, oh, you really spent a lot of money. And I said, I went simple. I wanted simple tonight, less to clean up, is what I said.
But what did you think about her comment?
Oh, it's gonna come. It doesn't matter. I could be Miss America Teacher of the Year and a size two, and I would still have lipstick on my teeth or something. So, it's
So,
gonna
but
come.
yeah, but it's still just, wears on us, right? It still wears us down.
I personally usually would have used real dishes, even if they weren't nice. I usually would have used real dishes just to impress my mother. And I was not going to impress her.
Right.
In fact, I don't know that I could, so I
Well, but
decided.
that, I mean, but it's like you did, I mean, all I just go back to like energy was depleted. Energy was, you were totally depleted by the end of the day, even though you did what you wanted to do, but still, it's this being on, you said, I mean, you described it as you survived the day.
I mean, and I know this is not a big deal, but I was raised in the Old South, and it is a big deal. I didn't it was a Mexican buffet. I didn't put the chips in a bowl. I opened the bag. I mean, a lot of stuff I never would have done.
Yes. And
It was,
so think about it. Think about how much energy you
yeah, that's
use, right, to do all these different things that you have never done, and probably thinking about what do people think? What does my mom think, right? Is she judging me? All of
And
that is
good grief,
depleting, depleting.
I'm turning 60 in a few
I
years.
don't care. I don't care.
Why do I set my
I
timer
don't
on my
care.
mother?
Nope. Let's not use that against yourself, right? It does not matter how old we are, especially when it comes to our mothers. Okay. I mean, I got a mother too, and she's got her judgments too. And thinking I'm blank years old, I should be over this by now, doesn't help us, right? No. This is our mom, and this is what how it's going to be until forever. Even after they're gone, right? Sometimes.
Probably, yeah.
And so it's like, this is where we normalize, right? We don't try to be different. Again, this is your mom. Okay. So you were worn out by the end of the day, from what I can see, from what you told me.
Well, and
And
I was in a lot of pain. I'm getting my knee replaced soon. I'm just trying to make it to the end of the school year. I was in a lot of pain on top
okay,
of
that's like another thing on the list, Audrey, right? So this is how all of this makes so much sense that you look to food for some relief at the end of the day. And we can see so many wins. I mean, we see a wins all over the place. We see wins with awareness, but we also see wins that it was only two brownies. We see wins that you recognize what was
Well,
going on.
there weren't three brownies left. There were only two left.
But you could have eaten something else.
This is true. I could have gone to the chips.
You could have gone to something else and you didn't. You recognize, mid eat
Well,
what kind of was going on.
and I posted about it in the
You
band group,
posted about it
and I did the disco sheet.
and you raised your hand on this call today.
Well, that's because nobody else's hand was
Went,
up.
no. Would you stop minimizing yourself? And so instead,
If you could figure
celebrating
out how to
yourself.
get me to do that, the two of us could make $1 million
I
in a
know,
day.
right? I'd be sitting on a beach somewhere. That's what I like to say, right? But I want to point it out when it's happening, because then you can start recognizing it where, oh, this is another time I'm not giving myself credit for what I need to give myself credit for. And that's how we can literally avoid binges in the future if we start giving ourselves credit, seeing, I mean, that's why I have an entire lesson in the binge course on recognizing your wins, because, that's how important it is.
What did you say? You said quit minimizing yourself and you said give yourself credit. What?
Just give yourself credit more for
Okay.
what you're for your wins and what you're accomplishing. Every single little thing. And I will tell you, this is actually good for me to. In the course, I talk about different types of wins, right? A lot of times we only focus on like, well, if I didn't not binge or binge less or eat less, right? It's not a win. No, I talk about action wins, but I also talk about compassion wins and I talk about awareness wins. Well,
Oh.
you had a million awareness wins with this, right? Because you were so aware of what was going on and then you reached out for help and you've gotten more awareness.
Okay.
And then you wouldn't have reached out for help if you didn't have some compassion for yourself, right? And if you didn't want to, you know,
Right.
learn something from this
And
or do it.
I wrote down here that I wanted the dopamine hit, but really maybe a short walk or some stretching would have given me endorphins that I
Yes.
may have needed instead of the dopamine. And it was also, I'm still learning that food is not my best friend, even though in a way I think it is. So.
Well, and here's the thing. This is another thing I say all the time is foods is a hit like no other. Okay? Let's not expect the same kind of hit from a walk or from a, you know, laying down on the couch for 5 minutes. Okay? That mean let's not live in la la land, right? Like, I mean,
That's
especially if
very
it's something we've been practicing for years and years, decades and decades. Yeah, food has worked. Food has given us what we needed, but food also has this consequence that we don't want. So we got to find some other ways to get some other different kinds of hits. And then, I mean, hits of relief, right? And, but I'll tell you what, y'all, just give it a try. Going out and breathing in some fresh air and getting some sunshine on your face. And no, that's not a brownie, but that's what I've been practicing with this puppy I've got. And it's like, now it's like, I got to get out and get my sun. I got to get out and get my fresh air.
Yeah, I ended up having the baby the last 2 days
Oh my goodness.
to help my daughter.
Little
This is what we
chicken.
did when I was about to pull my hair out.
Yeah.
We didn't even really get a lot of exercise. We just went outside and sat in the sun.
And that's, I mean, you know, you may not be able to move, or you may be in pain where you don't, but it's like anyone can step outside, right, and get some fresh air. Anyone can stop wherever they are and take one deep breath. We don't even realize how much of a hit that can be because we poo-poo it. And it's like, well,
Well,
we gotta try something.
so what do you have any advice? And then I know our time's up, but do you have any advice of next time away I might could have interrupted that when I was ping ponging back? No, I'm eating the second one.
Yeah.
How I could have interrupted that at that point because I was still in the kitchen at the pantry having
Yeah.
the discussion. I didn't walk to the bedroom with. I had not walked to the bedroom with both bags yet. I could have
Okay.
easily put one back.
Okay, you could have put one back. Well, number one, this is the thing where it's like you now know more than you did before. You have this more this awareness than you did before. I mean, you're sitting here talking about how, oh, I see how I could have left one back. That's the best, you
Okay.
know, thing advice I have for you, right, is you have this knowing now that you did not know that you did not have before.
Okay.
But it sounds like, you know, you are already kind of pre-portioning, right? You know, portioning stuff helps us, you know, anything that can put in a pause that, you know, can help you kind of put in that pause where it's like, okay, I got to make another decision if I'm going to have another thing. But I tell you what, the number one, you know, tool that you're already using is the awareness that you have from this
Okay.
experience you already had. Yeah.
Okay.
But you also, there's just so much in here, right? It's like when things don't go as I expect, red flag, right? Like anything with my mother, red flag, you know, like this is where it's like I have got to plan some self-care for myself. Anytime I spend some time with my mother, I do it too. Anytime things don't go as I expected, right? Or like my expectations weren't met, or I feel really disappointed because I didn't get to see
You
the baby.
mean like pre-plan it. Like I'm gonna be with
Yes.
mom today, so this evening I'm
Yes.
gonna blah 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 blah.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
Like you planned it ahead of time, and I'm glad you clarified that. Yeah. This is how this works, right? It doesn't just happen. We have to think about it ahead of time.
Okay.
And I mean, it's not going to happen every single time, but when you think about it, yeah, plan it ahead of time. But even like for your pain you're having, where it's like, I mean, think about like, that sounds kind of like a little bit more logical, right? Where it's like, well, if I'm on my feet all day, yeah, I would plan in the evening to sit and put my knee up or whatever,
Well, and
right?
I mean, that's why we went paper plates. I
Yeah,
mean,
yes. But it's
They
the
said happy
same
birthday on them, so I mean, yay.
thing. Yeah, which was amazing. Amazing party. But it's like, just like we need to put our knee up at the end of the day, we need to give ourselves some care at the end of the day, you know, just to support our knee, but also to support our
Ooh.
brain and support our nervous
So I
system.
would ice my knee. I need
Yes.
to. Oh.
Yes, it's the same thing.
Oh.
Where we're you know, we're better at taking care of our, you know, body parts than we are of our, you know, our brain and our
Brain.
nervous system and our emotions, right? We need to take care of that too.
So
We
how am
need
I
to do
going to
that.
put ice on it at
Yeah.
the end of the day? Okay.
What do you need to ice at the end of the day, right? Along with your knee.
Thank you,
Something like that.
Betsy.
All right. I'm so glad you raised your hand. I think this was helpful for a lot of people. Okay. All right, I'm gonna bring you back down and finish up here. Let's see. There we go. Okay. All right. See ya. All right. Well, y'all, I really want to go through the chat, but I want to just kind of, I want to glance and see if there's anything really good that I want to address. But y'all have come prepared with your questions. I love it, and I always love talking to Audrey. And I think, like I said, I think her coaching really, really probably helped a lot of you all too, right? In terms of we're just looking for self-care. We're looking for relief. We're looking for some love and compassion when we binge. Okay. How can we take care of ourselves in some other ways? That's the key to all of this, y'all, because we deserve care. We deserve love. We deserve a break. We deserve to ice our knee, right? And we've just got to try some things. And like I said, nothing's going to feel like food, but it's not supposed to. Okay. So I just invite you this week to kind of explore, even if it literally is one deep breath. What if that is what prevents a binge from starting? Would you be willing to practice it? All right. So here's the deal. Okay. Binge course is coming. I'm super excited. Don't really have a time frame yet, but it's coming. Okay. I also have a few openings in private coaching. So if any of you all have thought about private coaching, want to talk about it more, please reach out at support@pnptribe.com and email us, you know, the little blue circle with the question mark on any of the pages of our website. Reach out and ask coaches, email MJ, where however you want to do it. Please, please reach out because I'd love to work with any and all of you. So that's number two. I've done a lot of numbering today, I've realized, but that's fine. And what was the last thing I was going to say? I guess I was just going to say, I'm here for you and ask coaches. I guess that was it. I'm here for you and ask coaches. And I'm also here for you in our binge support Facebook group. If any of you all are not in the binge support Facebook group, please get in there. And first thing in the morning, I will check and see if any of y'all are in there and I'll let you in. But that is really where I live every day. I'm always checking in. I'm talking to everybody. I do posts, I do lives, all kinds of things in there. And you will find that binge support Facebook group if you just go to, NoBSWomen.com and you click on our little community tab, you'll find the link in there. Okay. So, but hopefully most of y'all are already in there. And, but yeah, just reach out. Okay. Reach out any which way. So many of you all reached out in the Q&A, which was amazing. And Audrey reached out and got coached. So I just love you all. I'm here to support you. I'm honored to be your binge coach here at NoBS. Okay. And so let me help you, but you got to reach out. Okay. All right. Awesome. I'm gonna go back and look in the chat. I'm just nosy, y'all. I gotta go read the chat after we're done. And I'll put anything in the Facebook group, in the Binge Facebook group, if I see anything in the chat that I want to address. Okay. That's a good idea. All right. That's what I got. So take care, everybody. Have a great evening. See ya. All right. Bye-bye.